You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show here on a very busy Tuesday, the last Tuesday of the month of November in the calendar year of 2022. We're live here on the Roku channel. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. If you're watching us for free on the Roku channel or you're listening to us on SiriusXM, the Odyssey feed, if you're listening to us on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, we appreciate that because this radio station smart enough to have us, to be quite frank. If you're listening to us on our podcast, we appreciate that. Hit us with a subscribe button there. Same with our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We always like when people are regulars around here. And if you're new here, you missed a heck of a show yesterday. It was a lot of fun. We've got a great one in store for you today. We've got two guests in the third hour. So Matt Rhule, now of Nebraska Cornhuskers football,
yep,
will be on this program. And the actor Christopher McDonald will be here. Suze and I are loving his work currently in Hacks. He's in The Watcher with Rich Eisen Show favorite Bobby Cannavale,
hey,
currently. And my kids would know him as Shooter McGavin. So he's here in studio hour number three. And they are going to form the Rich Eisen Show counter programming, if necessary, to the United States taking on Iran.
Yeah, I'm not going to be paying attention.
No, you won't be paying attention to the game, right, Chris? Because the third hour
you're
a part of the show, you're on the broadcast here.
Right.
You're going to be
locked in to the
I'll be locked
show.
In because I can't watch the game.
I appreciate that.
Good. I'll be here.
The United States taking on Iran. If the United States wins, hold on a minute. I'm sorry. If the United States win, you gotta use the proper language here.
I hate that.
Because the name of the country is the plural name that we would normally call the moniker of the team that we root for.
But the United States. The name is an it. It's not a there.
United States is like, say, the Knicks. The Knicks are. United States are in position to move on to the knockout round if they win. If Iran ties the United States, Iran moves on. Oof. And the United States is out. But I would proffer to say if the United States, prior to the World Cup, starting a week and a half ago, if the United States was told all you have to do is beat Iran and you move on to the knockout round, they would have signed the piece of paper on the spot, I think. So two ties, one against Wales, one against England, has put the United States in a position to be winning and in the knockout round. And obviously we will do our best to update you as conditions warrant on that as we get ready for that. Prior to that, Bruce Feldman's going to be here in studio, nice, hour number two, to talk college football, which we'll dive deep into on this program. Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo in their usual spots. TJ Jefferson's been patiently waiting for me to say hello to him so he could light the candle. How are you, TJ?
Well, I mean, I know you like the candle being lit.
I do like the candle being lit. It's kind of like the Olympics. You can't have any events without the cauldron
so
being lit.
So this is the official flame?
It is, in fact, that. Yes.
About that.
Yes. And that lighter actually was passed around the entire globe to by winding up in your right hand in order to light the candle.
I feel so special.
It is that.
What's up, Bick?
It is that. We are... let's just make sure I can confirm on this. Yeah, I can confirm. We're after Thanksgiving now. And
so you can't wear white?
Oh, wait. The famous phrase was from Bill Parcells always that this is when the season begins. in the NFL.
Oh, I thought it was you are what your record is.
Well, it was you are what you are. You know, always look at the man in the glass, right? The man in the mirror to figure out who you are. And I understand.
I'm asking
it.
Him to change
and
his
always,
ways.
It, one of my favorite Parcells phrases is dropping your huggies. Whenever a kid, a youngster performs well for the first time in a big game, and becomes a veteran on the spot, he's dropped his huggies. For instance, let's just use it, say, for instance, Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy, right? Dropped his huggies in the horseshoe in Columbus. Dropped his huggies and then decided to let everyone in Ohio State know what the true nuts look like. So...
364
days. TJ likes it.
I know. I don't like it. I love it.
Thank you, sir. So the Parcells phrase that I'm referring to right now is that the season always begins on Thanksgiving. And I understand what he always means by that, because now is where rubber meets the road. All of your plans from mini camp and training camp and even in this day and age where there's not a lot of hitting in training camp, and then there's one fewer preseason game, which leads to more and more offenses taking more games than usually necessary to get moving and get more on the same page and all the phrases that you hear in the NFL. Now's the time. Like, we now know who needs to do what. We now know who hasn't done enough of something. We now know which teams have already proven themselves, and now when the weather gets colder and the windows get tighter, it's time to play some winning football. And the matchups that, say, if these week 13 matchups happen in week 2, we'd have been like, all right, this is pretty good, maybe some higher register ones, or like, this would be great, but you know, it'd be better if it was in December or November. For instance, Bengals and Chiefs, right? Bengals and Chiefs, week 3 would have been, this is great. Now, week 13, okay.
Let's go.
Dolphins, 49ers, week 3 would have been like, okay, that's pretty cool that the new coach of the Dolphins is already visiting the team that he used to be part of the staff. All right, now week 13, now you know that the Dolphins are 8-3. And the 49ers have Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback now for 11 weeks. And they now lead the NFC West. Now that takes on a whole different ball of wax. You take a look at the standings, as a matter of fact. And rubber's meeting road in the AFC with the Chiefs. No Tyreek Hill. No Big Whoop. Right? 9-2. They won 9 of their first 11 anyway. A loss to the Indianapolis Colts that will still be a head scratcher when the season's done, no matter what happens between now and the end of the season.
Knock me out of Survivor, Rich.
I'm sure that did for a lot of people back in week number 3. And then the Buffalo Bills in week 6. But the Bills, despite coming up with that big win, have lost 3 games, including a couple in a row that a lot of people didn't see coming, against the Jets, right? And then the Minnesota Vikings. And they're sitting at 8-3 because the Dolphins beat them too. And the Dolphins are 8-3. What a surprise that is. The Titans have tightened up once again. They lead this division, and they're going to print a playoff ticket pretty darn soon, because the team that's closest to them is now 4-7-1. The Ravens at 7-4 and the Bengals at 7-4. That's for the AFC North. The loser might make the wild card, because you never know if the 6-5 Patriots and Chargers can get off the sniffing it list. And then there's the Jets, surprising everyone, at 7-4, arriving sooner in the wild card station. And a couple of weeks ago, had they beaten the Patriots in New England, they would have been in first place in the AFC East. Right now, they're the last wild card, and that's your AFC playoff picture. In the NFC playoff picture, you take a look at it, and it's been, I would say, the surprise team of the year. I saw the Eagles winning the East. I did not see them winning the East because they're the first member of the 10-win club by the end of November. And Jalen Hurts being an MVP candidate, we'll get to that in a moment. The Vikings, another surprise. We saw them win in week 1 against Green Bay, but needed to see more of that, and we didn't see more of that. And the next week against the Eagles, they got curb stomped in Philadelphia. And since that loss, they've only lost once. The Dallas Cowboys came and got them and beat the tar out of them. And the Cowboys are your number one seed in the wild card right now, fifth seed overall, because they're two behind the Eagles. And they need the Eagles to lose one more time before Christmas. So when they face each other on Christmas weekend, the Cowboys will have a chance to even the record in the division against the Eagles in their season series and maybe have enough tie breaks in other categories to surpass the Eagles atop the standings. The Bucs are 5-6. We mentioned the 49ers moments ago leading the NFC West. I mean, 5-6, Buccaneers lead the NFC South because the Falcons are a half game behind them. And they've already lost to the Buccaneers. It looks as if Tom Brady will limp into the playoffs. Will it be his final season? We'll see how it all works out between now and the end of the season when we could see the Cowboys against the Bucs in a wild card round. And right now, as it currently stands, every team in the NFC East would be in the playoffs. Cowboys, Giants, Commanders are your wild card teams.
Has that ever happened? That hasn't, right?
I think an entire division may have made it a long time ago. I don't know. We'll look at that.
The East, remember, was a powerhouse until the last, like, you know.
But with every team making the playoffs? I can't remember that.
And there are the Seahawks. A lot of folks thought that they'd be right there with the Bears currently in the top five for the picks in the draft, but the Seahawks have lost two in a row. As a matter of fact, they're beginning to lose a little bit of steam right now. So these are your standings currently right now as we enter December football. We've played our last game in November. December football now beckons. First game of December football is Bills at Patriots. How big is that?
Monster.
How big is that? Bills have still yet to win a game in division. How big is that? How wild is that? So, yeah. Season starts now, as Parcells used to say. Got it. Now then. The MVP race. Let's talk about that right now. The most valuable player race in the National Football League. Now that we have December football upon us. 13 weeks into an 18-week regular season. How do things currently stand? One aspect of it coming into the season, I think, Josh Allen was the consensus pick for MVP of the season. And he looked it for the first half. And the last few games, though, after losing to the Jets and hurting his arm in that process, been a little different story. And one other thing that's changed, too, since the beginning of the season is the Associated Press, which is in charge of this process of collecting the votes for most valuable player, has decided to get with the times and rank the choices. What do I mean by that? In the previous year where they had 50 members of
50.
The media their process of choosing it, a little outmoded as well, since I'll just grind the axe right here. I'm not allowed to have a vote because I'm an employee of the NFL, as if I have not proven over 19 years of this business and 8 years on this show that I say into this microphone what I believe, and not a single soul in the NFL front office tells me what to say, nor would I parrot it. But for whatever reason, I can't have a vote, as if I also don't watch every snap of football. Long story said, all right, I'm done with the axe grinding. The members who are allowed to vote now, in previous years, they would just say, here's my MVP. And they would tally up who's got the most votes, and that's the person.
One pick.
Who wins it. In other sports, it would be, give us your top five. We'll assign a point total for wherever they stand in the top five. And then we'll add up, and whoever has the most points wins. So over the years, you've heard it so many times, Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson, in all those years that they were making the playoffs and winning a Super Bowl, or in the case of Ben, Super Bowls, plural, that you always heard, never got a vote for MVP because you could only choose one.
That's going to hold true this year, too.
Well, Ben is retired and Russ is not going to get a vote. That's true.
Yeah, that's not going to change.
Thank you for that, TJ. Appreciate for that update.
Hey.
So now you're going to be able to hear who got a third place vote or a fourth place vote or a fifth place vote for MVP. And I kind of dig it. I like that. And just to model how it works, we do this normally on this program. Let's do it now for the first time, though, a ranked choice for MVP through the Thanksgiving Day weekend. And interestingly enough, it serves as a top five.
All right.
Which you know I like to do. Hit the music, Mike. Number five on this list is a non-quarterback. And I went back and forth. There's only two choices, I believe, for non-quarterbacks to be most valuable player in the NFL this year. One of them is Justin Jefferson in Minnesota. How amazing has this guy been? His latest performance, 139 yards receiving against the team whose coach is known for taking away the one thing you like the best and helps your team win the most. Justin Jefferson did that against Belichick on a Thanksgiving night. But I see you're already reaching for your grease board, TJ Jefferson. You may hold it up. Number five on this list is Micah Parsons, who I believe is a defensive player of the year right now through kind the first low, 13 but... weeks. Micah Parsons is the MVP of the Dallas Cowboys. We could talk about Dak and Zeke and Pollard, Deuces, or CD, all we want. All we want. You take Micah Parsons away from this team, that's a different bunch.
Don't ever think that.
I know that.
Never.
The Lion, who once took this seat from me when I offered it to him within 2 seconds when he was on this program.
Made you sit in the guest seat.
He did. He's number five on this list. Number four on this list for me, can't believe I'm saying it, but it's the truth. It's Josh Allen. And he was my number one, and there wasn't even a 1A, B, C, or D. There was nobody in his area code for most valuable player in my mind coming into the season. But he's still insanely valuable and obviously has that Mandalorian still in him where he shows this is the way. And if we see him once again get back in that mode of making the right decisions and winning with his arm and his legs and not being red zone careless with the football as we've seen, he can still be the MVP of this league over the next 6 weeks. We'll see what happens everywhere else. Certainly, since there are two people who are above him on this list that a lot of folks still, for whatever reason, have a bit of the jury out on. And let's start with the one who's got the most of the jury still out on him, even though not on me. Tua Tagovailoa is third on my list.
No, he's played like three games.
Tua Tagovailoa is number three on this list. Every single game he started and completed, the Dolphins have won. And I say that way because we all know he did not complete the game that he started in Cincinnati. You have your list. I've got mine. We'll compare them in a second because you guys are going to have your list, and we'll see who rank. If, you know, we'll assign him points, and we'll come out with a final list here from the show. I'm giving you guys the same amount of vote as I am, but I'm going one by one right here. Tua Tagovailoa has been dynamite. He has been elite. He has been terrific. And without him, the Dolphins are not 8-3. It's that simple. He's been awesome. Number two on the list is Jalen Hurts. He's got the most wins, I understand. And he is the heartbeat of this team. He is the absolute heartbeat of the team that can protect him and blow open the holes for him and the rest of the running game that complements him. And then what he does in that locker room, talk about value. Talk about value. And he is now one and the same with the Philadelphia Eagles, as far as I'm concerned. We're going to see him there for a long time. And he deserves it. Number one is Mahomes. Give it to him. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, like, because he's already gotten that treatment that we saw that, you know, Brady's gotten and Phil Jackson and Bill Belichick have gotten in their careers, where it's just like you just assume he's valuable. He's great. Why give him the award? Let's give it to somebody else who's got a better story or somebody new. How about this story? Let's take the guy who takes the defense off from the top. Let's take him off the team. Let's get him out. And let's get you doing something completely different offensively. You do have your all-world tight end with Travis Kelce. But what he's done this year so far, he's been dynamite. He has been unbelievable, and he still has that Terminator in him where you just know there's too much time left on the clock for him. He's my MVP candidate. Number one. And scene. There is my list. Oh, it's a nice photograph. I like that. Mahomes, Hurts, Tua, Allen, Micah, Parsons. So that would mean Mahomes gets 5 points, Hurts four, Tua three, Allen two, Micah one. And you guys put in your lists as well, correct?
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
Let's put them up on the screen right here, and we'll add them up together and have a nice long first segment to start our program here tonight.
Okay.
Why not? So, Brockman, you have your list right over
there?
Yeah,
Rich, I'm with you on. I'm with you. I'll go right in order. I'm with you on Mahomes and Hurts, one and two. I think there's no disputing that right now. I got Justin Jefferson, number three. Look, okay. Minnesota's got the second most wins in the NFL, and without him, clearly they do not have any of those wins. So I got him three. Micah Parsons is going to be your defensive player of the year. He's a monster favorite in Vegas. And without him, the Cowboys aren't anywhere near where they are right now. And then Josh Allen, he's slipped a little bit, but he's still super valuable. And what's sneaky, Rich, is like if he has like 404 touchdowns on Thursday and say Bengals beat the Chiefs and the Titans beat the Eagles, suddenly now Josh Allen is back in the mix for MVP. But I got him number five right now.
I totally agree with you that there's a path to the basket for him. No question about it. What do you got over there, TJ Jefferson? Your MVP list?
Wow, it's weird. I haven't done a top five in a while. Let's see if I still got this. I got Josh Allen coming in at number five.
Okay.
He was everyone's front runner, like you said. It doesn't mean he's not great.
No,
just maybe not the MVP.
Sure.
I got the cheetah, Tyreek Hill, at number four, because we talk about, you know, changing culture. I think maybe that's what he went in there and did in Miami, kind of made them say things with their chest. I got Micah Parsons coming at three. I really wanted him at number one because I'm really sick of this being a quarterback-only award.
And I understand
I was told when I got here that we had to do this in a certain format, so I put him at number three, but really he's my number one.
No one told you anything.
You could have been put him number one.
You told you thing.
I had a meeting before, and I was told that we're doing it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Jalen Hurts, I got him at two, and I got Mahomes at one, just because they're going to give it to a quarterback anyway.
And that's what's so frustrating.
I'm just saying, that's what's frustrating about this MVP award. If you're not a quarterback, you're not going to win it.
Well, I mean, but the most valuable position in the league is the quarterback spot. I mean, if you don't have one and you don't have one that can compete with an MVP type quarterback, you don't win in the league. It's just that simple. So I totally understand why you would rail against the system in that respect.
But I'm raging, you know.
Okay.
First Twitter, now this.
Mike Hoskins, our producer, coordinating producer, he's the AP of this process. He tallied all the votes. Plus, I'm more verbal than math anyway. I couldn't do this off the top of my head right now while I'm hosting. Put up on the screen. So here's the final list. Mahomes is the MVP with 15 points. He's number one on all of our ballots. Hurts is two. Parsons finishes third. Josh Allen fourth, and we have a tie at fifth because I put Tua at three, and Justin Jefferson was your third. There you go.
I put Justin Jefferson.
Okay. So there's your list. Also receiving votes. I like that. Tyreek Hill at the bottom right there. Well done, Hoskins.
I like
that. Also receiving votes.
I almost put Tyreek Hill instead of Josh Allen.
Well, I would have affected some of the finish right here, but it wouldn't have affected eventually who we have as one and two. So Mahomes is going to show up at the NFL honors and take that trophy, according to us.
Yeah, the
right
desert
now
agrees with us too, Rich. Mahomes is your favorite. He's minus money. Jalen Hurts is 3-1. Tua's 5-1, actually. Josh Allen, 10-1.
We'd love to know what you think. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Call us up. Tell us what you got, what you think we did wrong. We're always up for it. Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports is going to join us in studio top of hour number two to talk about the final week of college football leading into the college football playoffs. We've got conference championships coming up this week. Tonight's the night that the playoff committee spits out its decision on who's in right now and who will be in first position to get in if somebody, you know, stumbles. It'll be an interesting thought process. We'll give our two cents on that subject before Bruce Feldman comes in. A guy who's now back in college, Matt Rhule, will be joining us top of hour number three. And Shooter. Chris McDonald in studio hour number three. And then, as I said, there's you, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Off and running here on this Tuesday edition.
Let's go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Okay, Chris Brockman's getting all salty because the United States hasn't scored enough World Cup goals for him. And look, coming into this
one goal
tournament,
come on.
If you told the United States before playing Wales,
you're playing the results. I don't like that.
I'm not playing the results. If you told, because it's the reality of it. If you told any diehard U.S. MNT fan, all you got to do is beat Iran. Win, can't tie, win, and you're through. Would you sign that piece of paper? Before taking on Wales and England, the answer is absolutely you would. Absolutely. So the United States is in that position. Let's see what happens. I like their moxie. Okay?
Score some goals.
See what happens. You didn't think Michigan would score all those points, did you?
I did not.
Okay? And it would be better for the show if the United States wins, right? It is the same thing. How dare you?
I'm just here for the extra time.
How dare you? It is the same thing. It is the same thing.
Give me the extra time. Out of my mouth.
You know what? I know somebody who'll break the tie on this. Jeff in Detroit. It is the same thing, right, Jeff? Yeah. It is the same thing, isn't it? Isn't it?
Listen, I really... Hold on one second. I honestly was driving. I didn't hear the conversation.
No, it's okay.
I was waiting on you guys to bring me in. What's up, though?
How are you, sir? What's on your mind?
I'm wonderful.
What up, Jeff?
I am wonderful. How's everything with you guys?
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? Really?
Listen.
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
What does your mother, as a former teacher, and the Michigan Wolverines both have in common?
Okay. What do you
got? Making kids leave out of the venue in a quiet and orderly fashion, my man.
Thank you.
Listen, that is the best thing in the world. We wait all year for this. Haven't won in a horseshoe since 2000. And me seeing you yesterday, a little tear came to my eye. When you were on air and you just went in, and then seeing the Jets win on top of that, man, watching joyful Uncle Rich, the only thing that was missing was I was waiting on you to grab both sides of your shirt and split it open and have a Michigan M right on up underneath like Superman, baby. Honestly.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. I wish their Lions had won. I know that our CP, Mike Hoskins, enjoyed the Bills win, but the Lions had it right there, man, on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, my goodness.
Had it right there.
It was a jive turkey. The jive turkeys got away, man. It just and for me, what I'm seeing is, Dan Campbell is the coach. He is the man because it's honestly a different feeling. And also, one other thing, Rich, I happened to be up on the campus yesterday of U of M.
Ah.
Jubilant isn't even the word that I would use. You were getting high fives from all over the place, man. It just was a beautiful day. It was like the sun just cracked open.
Yeah.
People were smiling. Just, oh, my goodness.
I love it.
Campus
yeah.
of U of M was beautiful.
The sun is maize and the sky is blue. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Greatly appreciate it. Tonight's a big night. You know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to do tonight what I did last year.
Which was?
Hit that button in the elevator that says penthouse. Go straight to the top.
Oh, see George and Wheezy?
Nope. Mm-mm. I'm going straight to the top, and I'm just going to watch ESPN and see what the College Football Playoff Committee has in store for my team. That's what happened last year. It's great. It's now a tradition in the household. Sit down. Tuesday after beating Ohio State by putting 40 on him. Sit down and see what we got in store.
2 years makes a tradition.
Oh, yes, it does.
I think it does, actually.
Yes,
it
does.
It's got to be more than one year, right?
Remember last year, I'm like, I didn't know what it felt like. I felt like Costanza walking into that spot where there are models all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Great bar.
Right? Unfortunately, Georgia turned it back into what Costanza walked in at the end of that Seinfeld episode. But it was still great to be there while it lasted. And so we'll see what happens. And it's going to be important what the College Football Playoff Committee thinks. Georgia's been number one all year long, correct?
They have. Correct? I think Tennessee was number one during the first one.
Correct. And then Georgia
got
back in there after, you know, stomping all over Tennessee in a way that Alabama did not, could not. So the question is how much does the College Football Playoff Committee value the Ohio State University? This is actually the question of the night, right? How much does this playoff committee value the Ohio State University? Not in terms of just a football program that can win it all, but also of an interest in seeing them in it or having a shot to be in it after what we just saw in the horseshoe on Saturday. Because if the College Football Playoff Committee values Ohio State that highly, you know, being ranked 2 before getting beaten by 22 at home, then Michigan might leapfrog Georgia, right? And one would think Ohio State will be either 5 or 6. Let's see if they value them. If, say, Michigan stays at 2, Georgia's at 1, do they put Alabama in front of Ohio State with its 2 losses being by a combined 4 points at Tennessee, where we all know Tennessee won on a last second field goal. And once the ball went through the uprights, the folks yanked the uprights out of the ground and threw it in the river.
It's still floating.
And then Alabama lost at LSU when Brian Kelly said, "I'm going for 2. And won it on the spot. That's the 2 losses for Alabama. Do they sit here and say Alabama is that good still with its 2 losses? Is Alabama maybe of more interest nationally for people to see than the Ohio State team that just lost by 22?
Yes. What?
I mean, they're team everybody knows.
You don't have a dog. You don't have a dog in this.
I don't
care,
but yes, they're way more interesting.
Like, would you rather see Alabama take on Georgia again or Michigan?
Well, they haven't played this year, but yes.
I know they haven't played this year. That's the old thing. It's because, again, the SEC doesn't make that happen every year in the same way the Big Ten makes it happen for Michigan with Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan State.
Try to be partial during this conversation.
No, I am being partial.
I mean, you're not, though. But
I am being partial.
The Big Ten doesn't make Ohio State and Michigan play each other.
Yes, they do. Every year, it's on the schedule. They make up the schedule, and it's on the schedule every year. So, they do.
Right.
So, it's on the schedule every year.
They could not schedule it.
That's true. And we would all be wondering, what gives? In the same way, I, as a Big Ten fan, ask that question every year. What do you mean Alabama and Georgia don't play every year?
They're not in the same division.
Got it.
I mean, I don't know why this is hard to understand.
So, I don't know why they're in different divisions then. So, this, of course, is all predicated on USC not cashing in its ticket in the Pac-12 championship game against Utah, which is the only team to have beaten USC to this point, a 3-point victory for the Utes.
One point.
Pardon me. I thought it was 3.
Yeah, they went for 2.
That's right. My bad. 1-point victory. So there's all of that. What does the College Football Committee value? And the Ohio State is the linchpin. How much of their, I guess, well, I'm choosing my words carefully so I don't get this guy saying I'm being biased. How much of their worth do they value? Their number 2 status that Michigan punked? Or their number 2 status allows them, as Kevin Warren would say, to show up at 4. What if the College Football Committee just says you'd only lose 2 spots? USC has to win to get in. If USC loses, they've already made their decision. Alabama, sorry, you're out. What if they just make that decision tonight and pull the plug on the Crimson Tide tonight? I don't think they'll do that. I think they'll put USC in at 4.
Basically saying USC, you're in as long as you take care of business.
I think it will be Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and then USC. You're four. You take care of business. You are in. And just tell all the Buckeye fans and Kevin Warren, it's over if USC wins. And the question is, where do you put it five? And can they switch five and six after? Well, we thought about it a week later, and we're still putting Alabama in anyway. Is that possible? These are the things I want to ask Bruce Feldman when he joins us in 20 minutes.
It also gets super hairy. Like, what if K-State upsets TCU? That's only a field goal game
right
now.
That's true, too.
Kansas State has been tough all year long.
I've already pissed off Stone Street enough. The fact I haven't mentioned them, and you had to mention them anyway.
I'm just saying that's a real possibility.
That's true. Kurt Warner's son is on the team. Cade's on that team.
Because if that happens.
Kurt's going to the game, by the way. He'll be there. The Warner's
if that happens.
Yes.
I mean. If Utah, let's just say complete chaos scenario, right?
Utah wins, Kansas State wins.
Right, exactly.
Then I think
Ohio State are in.
Yes. Do you think the college football committee wants all blue bloods like that?
I think so. I mean, that's not going to suck. I mean, look, not having USC is kind of a bummer because, like, they've been a great story this year.
Right.
They're quote-unquote back, you know?
Let's just say if that happens, I think you would see what you would see Alabama take on Michigan and USC take on Georgia just to separate everybody, right?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
And then there's this opportunity as well. USC has a chance to win it all right now for sure. They're two wins away against Utah and then whoever they would play in the national semifinal from playing for the championship in SoFi, just like the Rams did. The only difference is in that scenario would be the likelihood of USC taking on a team from Ohio for the championship is very low. Woo! It's so great. I told you the day after is better than the next, and the next is better than the day before. It's so great.
Well, I need to get the
I don't think there's going to be a team from Ohio.
Of next year's game, TJ. Just hold on. It's the actual date of next year's
game. What is that
game.
Date? Just so we know.
Saturday, November 18th. So we have.
No, that's early. That'll be early.
That's what it says.
Really? No kidding. That sounds early. It's usually very early. It's usually the Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend. It's probably the 25th.
You're right. Saturday, 25th.
Yeah.
My bad.
Okay.
Saturday, 25th.
That's fine. Peg it.
So we're 361 days.
Oh, it's great. I got a lot of time to talk. Of course, Ohio State fans are like, well, just you wait. We're going to get in the college football playoff, and we're going to face you again, and we'll beat you, and it'll totally reverse the fortune. If that happens,
okay.
I don't know.
You had a good two-year run.
Dude.
Again, TCU and USC both have to lose.
I don't know about that. If USC loses, I think, again, that's why they place Michigan. They can't place Michigan at one and Ohio State six because they would value the win over Ohio State so much. Or I guess they can do that. I guess they can. Boy, if they place Michigan one and Ohio State six, that would just put the stamp on that win. All right. Let's take a break here. Let us take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Bruce Feldman will join us from Fox Sports. I can't wait to chop this up with him and what he thinks is happening. And then, of course, what is going on with Dion? Is he going to Colorado or what?
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
So we just mentioned USC's chances of making the college football playoffs. Mentioned the name Lincoln Riley. And to the publicist of the Stars sitting there in Century City, California, who's a diehard Oklahoma fan, Zach from Century City, that's like waving a red flag in front of a bull. Just mentioning the name Lincoln Riley, certainly trying to make a college football playoff with a quarterback that he took from Oklahoma as well. Isn't that interesting? Caleb Williams is like, oh, I've got a chance to play wherever. I'll just go where Lincoln Riley's going.
Great idea. It worked.
So we talked about it, and now on the Rich Eisen Show is Zach from Century City. Longtime listener, longtime caller, I know. What's up, Zach? What are you getting off your chest about this now? What do you got?
Hey, Rich, I just wanted to be amongst the first to congratulate Lincoln Riley on beating his second-ranked team this year. Very, very good for him. Not bitter at all.
Not at all. Okay, so you what do you say? What do you – I mean, they win, they're in, though. You got to give them that, Zach, right? They beat Utah,
really
they're in.
True. I mean, yeah, they buzzsawed straight through the powerhouse Pac-12 conference.
Mm,
so, Rich,
yes.
Several years ago when Oklahoma got beat by Alabama with Kyler Murray, I remember the week that they played Texas in the Big 12 championship game, I was in the shower, and I was saying to myself, how can I help the Sooners get in? And I realized that Oklahoma was 11-1. And had they beaten, if they beat Texas in the Big 12 game, they would have beaten every team on their schedule. And no team has ever not made the college football playoff who has beaten every team on their schedule. So I called my friends over at Oklahoma, and we were able to get that over to Lincoln Riley, and we were able to get it over to several other people at ESPN. And in his post-game press conference, he stated that we have a great case because we beat every team on their schedule, on our schedule. And I guarantee you that that snake oil salesman will do that again on Friday night should they beat the devastating powerhouse that is Utah.
Wow.
To try to get back into the game.
So you, being a publicist of the Stars, came up with that concept of beating every team on your schedule when you have a second shot at beating the only team that's already beaten you, and he used it to success against Texas when he was with Oklahoma, and he's got this thing to just dust off, you know, blow the dust off of that that phrase, that concept you forwarded to him and planted. Look at you planting with media. You're saying he's going to do that. He's going to do that Friday night if they beat Utah and say we should be in because we'll have beaten every single team on our schedule. That's what you're going to say.
I will say that he will hedge because obviously if they're in, there's no fifth team this year, but he will graciously let everybody know that they have beaten everybody on their schedule.
But the Ohio State thinks they're a fifth team. They only lost to the best team in the country, according to them.
We're talking about football teams here, Rich.
I like
it. Talking about programs.
See, this is why he is in charge of my image. Well done, Zach. Thank you, sir. Greatly appreciate it. That's Zach, publicist to the Stars. It's a pretty compelling case, though. It's like we're not undefeated, but we also beat every team on our schedule. You know? It's like undefeated light. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's less calories than losing to one team on your schedule. They beat Utah, they're in. I don't think you need to pound a table about anything.
No question.
Beat Utah, they're in.
Thing is, they're going to have the Heisman Trophy. You're not going to keep the Heisman Trophy winner out of the Final Four when you win your conference.
So let's just say if there's a team you don't want to see in the college football playoff because you'd like to see their current state of misery stay as miserable as they are. Just plucking that concept out of thin air.
Just out of nowhere.
You're rooting for TCU against Kansas State and USC against Utah.
Yeah.
Because if those teams win, it's a wrap.
Wrap.
One of them loses, it opens the door for a team currently feeling miserable having an opportunity to redeem their misery. Right? Both Kansas State and Utah win. Well, then. Cool. Then you got blue blood all over the place.
We got that.
Right?
We also have a pretty fun and compelling Final Four.
How about this?
But
let's
maybe
say,
less deserving.
Let's say it is that Kansas State and Utah winning is totally feasible.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's not even a dumb and dumber chance. It's not even dumb. It's a smart thought.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what do you think the College Football Playoff Committee would then go Michigan, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama So it is SEC versus Big Ten championship game.
Fun.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, sure.
Two diehard rivalries going at it. One you've just seen play out. Another one you haven't seen play out this year, but you've seen play out way too many times in previous years. Guaranteeing you it's not a conference championship for the championship.
Yeah, why not?
Would you prefer that, or would you prefer mixing it up? Michigan, Alabama.
I would prefer
Georgia, Ohio State.
Man, it's tough because we just saw Ohio State, Michigan,
and it wasn't even a game, right?
It was a game that for a half. It was a game.
When it was 31-23,
it was
31-23, and the Michigan was about to hand the ball off to Donovan Edwards, I was still very pins and needles.
You still thought,
Of course, it's an 8-point game. Are you kidding me?
I think this is a fun way to do it. Yeah, for sure.
What you have conference semifinals for the championship game?
Yeah, Georgia 1, Alabama 4, Ohio State, Michigan 2-3.
Okay. We'll all see what happens tonight. First guest up tomorrow to talk about it, Desmond Howard is on this program tomorrow. He's the one who apparently, according to, because I didn't see the show, because as you know, I'll talk about this in a second. Desmond Howard is going to be on our program on Wednesday. Coming up is Bruce Feldman from The Athletic and Fox Sports. So much to talk about with him. Hugh Freeze is in the SEC again. How the hell does that happen?
I don't know.